The Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee has left rates unchanged. The repo rate remains at 3.5%, while the prime rate, that is the rate at which commercial banks lend to customers, stays at 7%. The bank now forecasts that the economy will contract by 8.2% as opposed to 7.3%, which was their estimate at the July meeting. The bank has described the risk to the inflation outlook as balanced, expecting headline inflation to average 3.3% for the year 2020. Well, to discuss the policy stance and more, I'm joined on the line by Annabel Bishop. She's chief economist at Investec. Thank you so much for joining us, Annabel. So the bank sees a bigger contraction in the economy for 2020 compared to its view in July, but it's still nowhere near as bad as some of the private sector view it. They're talking about double-digit contraction. And of course, the bank seems quite hopeful of a rampant increase in economic activity in Q3 and Q4.
Yes, hi. Yeah, thank you. Look, I think perhaps, you know, a rampant increase might be a bridge too far, but perhaps just to take it back to the beginning. Look, I think certainly, you know, that the view was quite divided in terms of whether we get an interest rate cut today or not. And of course, you know, the Reserve Bank did signal quite heavily at the past meeting that perhaps, you know, that might be the end of the current interest rate cycle. Mm. And of course, the governor himself indicating, you know, that he prefers it when there's quite an even split between, you know, views on where interest rates are going to go. Of course, you know, from an economic contraction perspective, we expect 10%. We've been expecting a 10% contraction for 2020 since really early June this year. And of course, you know, the economic consensus has crept up, you know, in the month of March and April, it was much lower, around about, you know, 3%. And every month it's got substantially worse. The current consensus is a contraction of 8.5%. So we may well find that we move into next month, we start to see a worse one coming through.
So the bank sees headline inflation averaging 3.3% this year, 4% next year, and 4.4% in 2022. It looks pretty benign and well within the target range of 3-6%. Would you agree with their assumptions? And does this suggest that interest rates will stay lower for longer?
Yes, I do agree. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why interest rates are likely to stay low for longer is the fact that the United States, you know, last night put out their monetary policy statement saying that they're looking for the interest rates to remain basically at zero, zero bound, essentially, for the next 3 years. And of course, that really relieves the pressure here on South Africa. We do expect perhaps a small interest rate increase next year, maybe the one, and maybe some more thereafter. But again, it's not to the point where monetary policy tightens. I think this is quite a key point. You know, interest rates are seen to be neutral if they're 2% above inflation. So if our inflation rate is at 3%, which it essentially is, and that would mean that the neutral rate of interest rate would be at 5%. And of course, you know, with our repo rate at 3.5%, that shows you how very accommodatory it is. And that's really, I think, the point where the Reserve Bank's going, that, you know, they're going to keep interest rates accommodatory. But even if you raise interest rates for 0.5%, you know, from where they are now, it'll take it to 4%. That's still, you know, not at the neutral rate, still less than that. Mm. I think, you know, we're going to see these very low interest rates for quite a long period in South Africa.
So the bank doesn't see any real demand side pressure on inflation, but it's warning about the impact of administrative prices like electricity, which is set to go up again next year.
Yes, and I think that's really a key point. You know, perhaps something we haven't touched on and something that worries me a lot, if you have a look at, you know, the latest bank survey data, we're actually seeing a big collapse, getting worse each month in terms of the number of people's take-home salary. So if you look at Bank Serve Africa, it's a clearinghouse, and they've shown, you know, over a 30% drop in July. And people were thinking the month of July is the third quarter, you know, you're going to start seeing an improvement. That's compared to a 20% drop in June, about a 14% drop in May, and, you know, about a 1% drop in April. And that shows you the lagged effect. You know, the biggest collapse in economic activity was in April, but not the biggest collapse in terms of people being paid. And of course, there's that lagged effect of unemployment coming through as well. And I think, you know, that third quarter is going to disappoint. It's going to be a weaker recovery. It's already showing that from some of the data. And of course, the Reserve Bank probably wanting to keep some reserve, you know, that in case it does need to cut interest rates further, if we start to see the economy falter in terms of its recovery, if we see a double dip recession. So that's why I think, you know, their stance is probably quite appropriate for today, and then obviously wait and see what the rest of the incoming data shows.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I notice about the MPC is that they tend to shy away from talking about fiscal matters, but on more than one occasion in the speech, that does come up quite a bit. They do see some risk for the rand in the event that the country's fiscal risks are perceived to be too high. And of course, this remains quite a key concern, given all the difficulties in the economy. We're not growing. The tax man is down over 300 billion rand for the year, and so on and so forth.
And of course, you know, you hit on such an important point. We are basically in line for credit rating downgrades at the end of this year, and that's negative for the rand. And of course, rand weakness does put upward pressure on inflation. And ultimately, the Reserve Bank's primary function is to create financial market stability, or to really ensure financial market stability, but particularly, you know, to control inflation. So this is really the big worry for them, you know, that inflation could shoot up higher on the upside. Perhaps, you know, while the rand has come back from 1935, its worst point this year in the COVID-19 crisis in March, you know, it's still, you know, not yet at the levels it was at the start of this year, at 14 rand to the dollar. Mm. And of course, you know, a prolonged period of rand weakness does eventually push through to higher inflation. So of course, you know, that's going to be worrying the Reserve Bank, along with the fact that this lockdown probably was too severe. You know, we've seen very harsh economic impact, worse than expected, yes, you know, seen by the Reserve Bank revising its figures. And of course, you know, from a health point of view, not as bad as expected, you know, expected to be much, much worse. South Africa actually having one of the lowest impacts from a health perspective globally, yeah, from COVID-19. So, you know, our lockdown seems out of proportion. Of course, now that's resulted in this massive loss of revenue at a time when our finances were already incredibly imperiled.
Yeah, no, that debate is always a bit of a tricky one, because had we not had such a strict lockdown, you know, what would it have meant in terms of the health impact? So it's a tricky one.
It is. But, you know, the reality is that the reason why we've had such a low impact of COVID-19 from a fatality perspective is because we have such a very large percentage of the population who are young, such an incredibly tiny percentage of the population who are old. Mm. And of course, COVID-19 is really, you know, seen as only being fatal for people who are very, very, you know, elderly and therefore weak, or people who are incredibly health compromised, very, very ill. And, you know, from that perspective, perhaps a bit of, you know, understanding of that before the crisis could have assisted. But again, we didn't know. And of course, everyone was very scared, very anxious. And I suppose the way the crisis was painted, people actually were, you know, generally everyone was quite fearful for their lives.
I know.
Back and said it has been too harsh, but now sadly we have to deal with the consequences.
Mm, indeed. And of course, the Reserve Bank continues to make the point, it does so every meeting, that it alone with its monetary policy tools can't be the economy's savior. But despite that, do you think they might give us another rate cut come November, perhaps an early Christmas present for us?
You know, I wouldn't disbelieve it at all. I think it's entirely possible. By November, we're going to see that probably the economic forecasts have been revised down again. They tended to drop by 0.5% each month. If we're at 8.5 now in September, we're probably going to go to 9% in October, and then about 10, you know, 9.5% in November. And of course, by then the Reserve Bank may feel, golly, you know, perhaps we could put through another 0.25%. Again, these interest rate cuts not stimulate economic activity and not expected to turn the economy around at all, but rather to provide substantial relief to over-indebted consumers, over-indebted corporates, and just to try and, you know, provide some help in this very, very difficult period, particularly, you know, people who are indebted, corporates, households, you know, still having to service debt when incomes are down so substantially, corporate balance sheets being weakened right across the economy.
Yeah. And lastly, Annabel, just in terms of this economic recovery plan that is set to be announced to us in the next few weeks, I've heard that expression a few times many weeks ago. We do hope that that economic plan comes through. What are you anticipating, and what would you like to be in there for us at least to grab hold of the low-hanging fruit and get the economy moving?
I suppose my answer to you is I don't want a plan at all. I want action. You know, I'd rather hear in a couple of weeks' time, we've implemented this, this, and this, as opposed to hear yet again or some more plans. But nevertheless, if it has to be a plan, I'd certainly like to see a very, 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 very big cut in red tape in South Africa. You know, obviously, one of the reasons why we are seeing a substantial decline in our ease of doing business, which then indicates, you know, your economic growth is going to lower, which of course it has been doing, has been because of electricity supply constraints, but also as well, of course, because of a very onerous and complex regulatory environment in South Africa. In the manufacturing, the industrial sector, we've actually had a cut and paste situation from other countries in the world, which is not applicable to small and medium enterprises in our country. It's been strangling their growth and their ability to actually you know, expand and create jobs, but of course as well, many of them shutting because they can't get their environmental compliance certificates that they need because we also had very, very low productivity from the civil service. It's not pushing through, you know, the certification needed. In fact, South Africa is one of the worst countries in the world in terms of the length of time it takes to start a business. We need to be quick to start a business and create jobs, not one of the worst in the world. If there's no wonder we've got one of the worst growth rates in the world.
Hmm. Annabel, always a pleasure talking to you. Take care. That was Annabel Bishop. She's Chief Economist at Investec.